Okay, today's daf is daf lamed dalet. So we got four lines down. The Gemara had been discussing a chilek between the concern of being meta mumun a bechor versus that of a chavis shachuma. And the Gemara initially had made create a parallel between how the different tanaim paskin whether you should leave everything as is or you should be matil mum, you shouldn't be matil mum, and then gabe chuma that the safek tuma, should you expose it or should you cover it or shouldn't touch it. And the Gemara ends up saying that you can't compare the halachas of matil mum to that of chuma because matil mum is based in a pasuk. And when it comes to the Savik Chum, is also based in a pasuk. So we explained yesterday the pasuk of Kol Mum Lo Yebo and the pasuk of Tam Yeli Ratzon. That was the Lagabe being made to Mum. And now we're going to discuss the pasuk with regards to Chuma, how that relates to how one should respond to there being a Safik Tuma with regards to Chuma. So Gemara says four lines down, Daf Lam Medalad Amun Aleph, Hacha B'Krai Pligi. Here, the Gabi Chuma, when there's a Safik Tuma, B'Chuma, there's a Machlokis, how to understand the Pasuk. Damar Rav Yehuda, Yehuda explains, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Ish Lakish, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua. V'ani, the Pasuk says, V'ani, Hine Nasati Lecha Es Mishmeres Chumosai. Now, Chumosai, Chumos is plural, but it's written as Chumas. The letters are Chumas, but it's pronounced Chumosai. That's what we call Yesheim Lemikra, Yesheim Lemisaurus. Mikra is how it's read as Chumos, but Lemisaurus. Mesorah is how the Mesorah told us to write it as Chumas. So the pasuk again says, "Vani hinei nasati lecha es mishmeres Chumosai." So Rabbi Eliezer Savar b'shtei Chumos hakasim edaber. Chumosai is the Rabbim. It's implying two different Chumos. Echad Chumos Chuma Torah. Echad Chuma Tuluya. Whether or not it's Chuma that's Tahor, whether it's Chuma that's Tuluya, which means there's a suffix, both of them Amar Rachmana Avir Leishimer. You should provide a protection. Nasati lecha es mishmeres. So mishmeres applies to Chuma Torah and even Chuma Tuluya. That's the basis for Rabbi Elazar that if you have a suffix Tuma with Chuma, you should protect it. Still serve. Give it a mishmeres still. If it's a vade tuma, that everybody agrees there's no need for mishmeres. But if it's a tulia, that's implied in the pasuk of chumosai. Comes along with Yeshua. Yeshua says, no, chumosai, ksiv, chumosai, ksiv. There's no vav there. Chumosai, it's ksiv. We go based on the way it's written, not the based on the way it's pronounced. So that's what the Gemara explains. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. Is this to say, lememra, that the Rebbe Eliezer, savar yesh em lemikra, that he goes based on mikra the way you read it, and the way you read the pasuk is chumosai, he really follows the mikra? Or minu, we have a price of some sort, that's machlokas, in regards to the pasuk of a father selling off his daughter. So the pasuk tells us, it says, big doba, Bigdo, but it's pronounced Bivigdo, but it's written as Bagad. What is the difference between Bigod versus Bagad? So Bagad is when he rebels. So Lashon Bagad, he rebels and sells his daughter. That's not a type of fatherhood. And Bigod is a Lashon of setting a Beged, a cloth, a talis, marrying her off. The question is, you can't sell her a second time. So does that mean you can't sell her after selling her a first time? Or does it mean after you marry her off, you can't sell her after marrying her off? So if you go based on the way it's written as Bagad. If you, Bagad, you rebelled against her and sold her, you can't sell her a second time. Or this is a way it's read as Bigod, which is Lashon Beged. If you marry her off, then you can't sell her after marrying her off. That's the Machlokas. The Gemara explains. Or Minu, Bivigdo, Ba the Pasuk says, Kaven Shapirish, Talis Halah, once you spread a talis above, which is a Beged, referring to the Chuppah, then Shuv Einu Rasha Lemocha, you can't sell her after marrying her off. That's going based on that way it's written. That's Yeshem Lemikra, that's Divrei Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Eliezer says, Omer, no, Kaven Shabbat, Bogadba, the way it's not read, but the way it's written here, it's written as Bagad, even though you pronounce it as Bigad, it's written as Bagad. Kevin Shabagadba, since you rebelled against her and you sold her, Shuv Eino Rasha Lemocha, you can't sell her a second time. So is it the marrying her off that prevents you from selling her, or is it the selling her the first time that prevents you from selling her a second time? And it's based on whether you go based on Yeshem the Mikra, the way it's read, which is Bigad, or the way it's Misaris, the way it's written, which is Bagad. What comes from here is Rabbi Eliezer clearly aligns himself with Bagad, which is the way Yesh Eim LeMisores, not what we said above Yesh Eim LeMikra. So in other words, it's not based on the way Trumosai. Back to the previous point. It's not Trumosai. Reb Elazar says you go based on the way it's written, it's Trumasai. So Trumasai, not Trumosai. So we have to go back to square one. How does Rabbi Eliezer know, in fact, that one does have to do a Shmira even on Truma Teluya? So Gemara says you're right. Good question. Elahacha b'hak mifuki. The machlok is by Safek Truma, Safek Tamei, Truma that Safek Tamei, meaning Truma Teluya, is based on the following pasuk. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Haru'uya lecha shamor, v'sheinu lecha lo tishmor. That which is right to be eaten, one should provide a mishmeres, and that which isn't right should not be provided with a mishmeres. And comes along Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Hanami ru'uya. This is even a truma teluya is considered ru'uya. Why is it considered ru'uya? Because Shema Yavo Eliyahu v'tarenim. Because perhaps Eliyahu is going to come today, tomorrow, sometime soon, and he'll tell us it's actually tahor. So since we don't know, we have to consider ru'uya, and therefore it requires a shmir. So it's based on this understanding of when there's a teluya, is teluya considered ru'uya, since the potential of Eliyahu is to come, or it's not considered teluya, we look at it right now. And since currently we can't eat it, we can't enjoy it, we can't benefit from it, says Rabbi Yeshua, it's not called Ru'uya and doesn't require Shmir. So that's the Nekudas Machlokas between these two Amoraim. Now there's an interesting discussion. The Shitas Rambam, when it comes to Safek Tumah, the din is Safek Tumah, we're Machmir. But according to the Shita of the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, he holds that Safek Tumah L'chumer is only a din derabanan. But in the Deraisa level, Safek Tumah, we actually say Tahor. We say it's Tahor. So if Safek Tumah is really only Tamei Midirabanan, but merely on Deraisa level it's Tahor, so why do you need a Pasuk here to exclude a case of Truma Teluya if it's only really, according to Rambam, only talking about Dinei Derabanan? So there are many, many answers that are brought down, but the Ma'arid HaGazi, which I don't think I discuss much here in Maseches Becharos, but he is like the main achron of Maseches Becharos. Ma'arid HaGazi gives one answer among like six answers as follows. When does Rambam say Safek Tumah is only Tamei Midrabanam? When I have one item here, I don't know whether this is Tamei or Tahor. Midraisa, I can assume Tahor, and this is a Chumra to say Dirabanam. But let's say I've got two items here. One is Vadai Tamei, and one is Vadai Tahor. I just don't know which is which. In this situation, one of them is Vadai Tamei. That's where even the Rambam would agree, Safek Tumah would even be Dirisa. But with just one Chavis, where I don't even know if there's Tumah at all, that's where Rambam says the Safek Tumah is Tamei only Midrabanam. So that's the Chilik that Ma'arid HaGazi draws. Let's go weiter in the Gemara now. Gemara says we're around more than halfway down the Amud here. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Krabi Shimon. How do we pass him? We had this machlokis yesterday about whether you should metamum, not be metamum, but in terms of makis dam. So Rabbi Shimon was at the Shita that you could makis dam on the Bechor even though it's going to create a mum. What was the Hezber? Rashi explained because Davar She'enu Miskaven is mutter. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So that's how we pass him. Halacha Krabi Shimon, Davar She'enu Miskaven is mutter. So Maskiv La Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hey Rabbi Shimon, which Rabbi Shimon are you referring to? Elaimer Rabbi Shimon the Masnitzin of our Mishnah. So why did you tell me that din? Ad hashta, up until now, Lo Ashmin and Shmuel, Davar She'enu Miskaven Mutter. Have we never heard Shmuel tell us the din? The Paskin, Davar She'enu Miskaven Mutter. We heard it so many times from him. Why did you tell me yet a second time here as well? That's too obvious a point for Rabbi Yehuda to tell me this Chiddush in Shmuel's name. Doesn't Rav Yechiya hold like Rav Yehuda? The Davar She'enu Miskaven is Asur. And Rav Chanan bar Ashi Amar Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, meaning we know that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon by Davar She'enu Miskaven. And Rav Chiya bar Abin Masi Belo Gavri, he taught it a little bit the same idea, but he didn't teach the people in the middle. He said, Rav Amar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel says Halacha Rabbi Shimon. So everybody knows that Shmuel passes like Rabbi Shimon, Davar She'enu Miskaven Mutter. So that can't be what's being brought in this Gemara here. Ella, Rabbi Shimon the Brisa is referring to Rabbi Shimon that was brought in the Brisa in yesterday's daf after the Mishnah, the Brisa which taught us that even after your makis dam and it creates a mum, you're even able to go ahead and shecht the animal after that fact as well on that mum. So there's two dinim. One is whether there's a concern of creating the mum or not, the iser matil mum, that's the Mishnah, and then the heter to shecht it after the mum is already there, that was the brisa, that's the chiddush we're saying, that's nothing to do with davar shein miskaven. So the Rabbi Shimon, the brisa, Rav Sheisha Berei de Rav Idi Masila Behedya, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmol Halacha Rabbi Shimon, the brisa, so there it is very clearly, the whole like Rabbi Shimon, that you're even able to shecht on that mum that was created through being makis dam. Now Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Kuv Yud proved from this sugi right here. There's a shita of the Sheiltas. Sheiltas writes in Parshas Emor, last week's parsha. He writes that even though we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter. The Sheiltas limits that only to the world of Hilchos Shabbos. Outside of Hilchos Shabbos, we paskin Davar Shein Miskaven is aser. Tosfos says that's incorrect based on the Gemara here. Clearly, the Gemara here is referring to Davar Shein Miskaven in the world of being made tumum, nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, and therefore we paskin that Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter across the board, all areas of halacha based in our sugya right here. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now in the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that Tzorim Ozen Bibechor Hareze Lo Yishchot Olamis Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. If an individual is pogame the ear and he makes a mum on the animal, on the bechor, you can never eat from it. So who's the one who's creating this mum? So Rashi says that Tzorim is a pogame on Kreneir Blaz, whatever that means, and Ubekoen Kamar the Kohen, because the Kohen is the one who's benefiting. He's the one who's going to ultimately eat it. But let's say the owner, the Yisrael, is pogame it. Doesn't is ohana from him. We're going to see that there's a penalty. This is a knas. So you don't have to penalize the Yisrael. He's not gaining from this. It's all the Kohen. So we have no motivation to create the mum, so we don't penalize him. Only if the Kohen does this. Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, it could even be a case of a Yisrael is pogame it if it's a Bechor Safek. We learned already before that Bechor Safek, you don't have to give to the Kohen. You have to be mafresh if it's referring to Pidon Petach Hamor, but for Safek, it's the Motzi Mechavel of Harayah. The Kohen has to prove that's a Vaday Bechor. So Safek Bechor I get to keep. So as soon as I get to keep it, there can be a situation where I'm made to mum, and that would also be a situation if I'm a Tilmum as a Yisrael or a Levi on a Bechor Safek, then I'm not allowed to eat it. Lo Yishchot Olamis Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. There's this knas they put in that's forever. The Chacham say now in the Mishnah, Omrim, Nolad Bo Mum Acher, Yishchot Olav, Shachot Olav. They only say, the Chacham say, that's only true, you can't shecht on the Mum that you had created. But if another Mum develops, so that Mum you're allowed to shecht on. But Reb Lazar says, no, once you're made to mum, I don't care how many more mumim come more naturally, you're never allowed to shecht this animal, according to Reb Lazar. And again, Chachamim argue. So Gemara says, last line of the Amud here, Umi kanis Reb Eliezer li olam. Does Reb Eliezer hold that you give a penalty that lasts forever? That's such an extreme position. Does he really hold in such a way? So the Gemara says that, we're minhu. They asked the question, Misha Yisolo Beheres, a person has a certain neged saras, a beheres on his body. So what's the din? So the Gemara explains, on to Amar Beis, V'nixit, so let's say it falls off naturally. No one caused it. There's an issa deraisa to cut off a neged saras. But let's say it falls off naturally. The din is it's tahor, because he didn't do it. He became tahor, he had a neged saras, he no longer has a neged saras, he's tahor now. But let's say bekavana he cut off the negatras, he violated the iser deraisa. So what's the response? So Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer lich sheyivaled lo nega acher yitar heimanu. When he develops another nega, so then he's going to be yitaher heimanu. Then he becomes tahor. We're going to see later on what does yitar mean. That we'll wait a few lines for. But he becomes tahor with another with the next one that develops. Look at Rashi here. Rashi says, Yitayer min harishona, v'holchen achar zu. So you focus on this new nega that develops. V'im yirpa mizo, tar mikulam. Now if he gets clean from this second nega tras, so then he gets tar even from the previous one that's no longer in his body, but it was once there. D'igloi milsa, d'ihava kemaisa, mitasinami. Had the first one still been in the body, that first one also would have been healed as well. So we wait for another nega to develop, and then he's cleansed from everything. But we see from here, Rabbi Lazar doesn't say that you're tummy forever. It's only temporary. So how come by the case of Tsaras, he says it's only temporary, but by the case of the person who's made to mum on the animal, he's a aser to kenas forever? So that we'll get to in just a second. Just finishing off this brisa here, Chacham Omrim, no, this guy, if he cut off the teras, he's tamei forever. Unless he gets a teras that develops on his entire body, we know that's like the counterintuitive, that a person is a neged teras, he's tamei, but if his whole body is a teras, then he's actually tar. So only if it all turns into a full-blown teras, only then does he become tahor. Anything short of that, he remains tamei li'olam, or acha timayit beharaso micha gris. Or if before cutting off that first teras, it was smaller than a gris, meaning it wasn't really the proper shear, that would also be heter. He could stay tahor if he cut it off. But other than that, he becomes tamei li'olam. So chacham are much more extreme. In the Mishnah, he said, no, the guy cuts off the mum, creates a mum, he's only tamei, he's only aser right now. But if another mum develops, so then he's fine, he's able to eat from the mum. But here, by the neged teras, chacham say he's tamei li'olam. So you see that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer, and chacham both switch sides, whether you give a penalty that's very severe li'olam, or whether you give it only temporary until the next thing develops. So how do we reconcile these first shitas Rabbi Elazar? So again, just to review, Rabbi Elazar says it's aser, one who's made to a mum and a bechor, he can't eat it forever. But one who cuts off a teras, he's only tamei until the next one develops, and then he becomes tahor from both of them. So what's the difference? So it comes along the Gemara, four lines down, Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Damri Tiraya, both of them say, Ki kanis Rabbi Eliezer b'mamono. When did Rabbi Eliezer have a very serious, a very severe kanas? Only when dealing with a property, such as the bechor, there we penalize the entire animal, li'olam. But begufo lo kanis, when it came to the person's body, neged teras, the penalty wasn't as severe. Why? Mamona ikel meimar daslam evad. When it comes to one's mamon's property, there's a room to be concerned he's going to create more. We'll look at Rashi just to really appreciate this in just a second. But begufo mi ikel meimar daslam evad. So what's this svara? So Rashi explains around eight narrow lines down here. But mamona asilei lemevad mimanavshach. The savor atimum. The guy says to himself, the Kohen says to himself, I'm going to make a mum here. Vim yatiruli. If they're going to permit me based on the mum that I created, b'kacharin iskarti. I've gained a lot. I just made a mum and now I can eat it. Vim lav. If they don't permit me based on the mum I created, ma'absadi. What did I lose? Because I can't eat it anyways now. Im amtin l'mamachar. I wait for another mum. B'lav hachi nami ha'isi amtin ad shipa mum. So they say my mum doesn't count. So I have to wait for a mum either way. I'm not losing anything. I have to wait anyways. Either I wait as long, or they reward me until I can eat it right now. So what's going to happen is, there's nothing for me to get lose. So we have to create some type of penalty to prevent them from being made to mum. Otherwise, there's no risk for them. So we say, you know, there's a risk. We create a takana, a knas, that if you're made to mum, you can't eat it forever. It's lost forever. That's why Rabbi Eliezer instituted such a severe iser, such a severe penalty for mum. But Bogufa, Rashi explains, Bogufa mi'ika l'meimar, demanches l'sveika v'leketz, ilo kantzin le li'olam. Are we concerned the guy's going to cut off more neged teras if we don't kodesh him li'olam? Do we have to give him a penalty forever to prevent this? Ha'vadi lo avid. He's certainly not going to cut off more neged teras. T'chai shema nega acher lo yivali lo li'olam. He may not ever develop another nega. We don't know if the guy's going to get another teras. The guy cuts it off and we say, you know, your tummy until another teras comes. A neged teras may never ever come again and he's going to be stuck forever. So that itself has some level of a built-in li'olam, and he'll never be permitted forever. So that's why it was enough to simply penalize him, that when the next neged teras comes, if you become tar from that one, you can become tar from the first one as well. But to institute a li'olam, that would be unnecessary by the case of a neged teras. That's what the Gemara explains. Gemara now says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Rabbi Eliezer, kasha. But Rabbanan adram lo kasha. Why are we only troubled with the steer within Rabbi Eliezer? Were the Rabbanan with the Shittas Chacham not contradicting each other? They also were. So Ella, Rabbi Eliezer lo kasha kitashanina. We already answered the steer between Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbanan adram Rabbanan nami lo kasha. There is no contradiction here either. Just to review again, Chacham said by the case of the mum that you can't eat from the mum that you created, but if another mum develops, you may shecht it. And by the case of neged teras, he says, the guy's tummy forever until acha tifrach bakulo, he was more severe by neged teras. So what's the difference? The Gemara explains, hacha b'may David kansu, hacha b'may David kansu. Depends. We penalize him to whatever he did. Whatever he did wrong, that's where the penalty is. What does that mean? So b'may mechavin, le mishrei, b'hay muma. So what was his intent by the mum, by the case of the bechor, he wanted to permit eating the bechor with that particular mum. So b'hai muma kansu rabbanim, the b'hai muma lo l'shari le. So only with that mum we do not permit him, but with another mum we would permit him. I mean, we only penalize him on that particular mum. We're not penalizing him on the animal, we're penalizing him on the mum, and that mum will never work, but another mum will work. So what did he do in the case of Neged Tzaras? Kansu, what we give a penalty on that which he tried doing. What did he try accomplishing? His kavana by Tzaras was Ichavin Leturi Nafshe by Kitita. He tried purifying him his whole self, his whole body with the cutting off, and therefore by Kitita Kansu Rabban. Therefore, we give him a penalty on that particular kitzita, meaning that Neged Tzaras will be tame forever. Even though he might have other Neged Tzaras, and those might be pure, but the one Tzaras he tried cutting off and cleaning, that will remain tame on his body forever, and therefore the impact is he becomes tame li'olam. So that's the distinction. Now there's an interesting discussion here in the Shitas HaRambam. There's a stira whether or not being made to mum on an animal is a deraisa or it's an iser midirabban. The Rambam in one place by Hilchos Psul Mikdashim, he says one who's made to mum on a karban gets an iser deraisa and gets malkos. But he says in Hilchos Becharos that's only a din derabanan. There's only a penalty. So is it a deraisa or is it a derabanan? And the Mishnah Melech says it doesn't make sense to distinguish between made to mum of a regular karban being made to mum by a bechor. Why would one be mechalik? So what's the difference? So the way the Achronim explain is midiraisa when it's bisman mikdash. So then there's an iser midiraisa, but bisman churban then it would only be an iser midirban. That's the understanding of the Achronim. Okay. Gemara now says, Vaita, we're halfway down the Amud here, Bayra Papa, Yitar Tanan, oh, the Yitar Tanan. We had above that, according to Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, if he cuts off the Neged Tzaras, he remains Tame, but when the other one develops, when a second Neged Tzaras develops, he becomes Tar. So what mean Tahor? What do you mean Yitar or V'Yitar? So how do you define those terms? Rashi explains here, Yitar Tanan, Demashma Miyad, immediately, Kishivaleid bo nega acher yitar min rishona. When the new Neged Tzaras develops, the initial one becomes tahor. O dilma, we say, or vi yitar tanan with the vav, the mashma kishivaleid nega acher vitar mimenu min acheron. When the new Neged Tzaras develops and it gets tahor from the new one, only after the second one gets tahor does the first one as the yitar min rishon. So again, when the new Neged Tzaras develops, is there an immediate tahara to the first one, or it's only after you get tahara from the second one as well? The my nafkamina, Gemara asks, Rashi explains, what's the nafkamina? Either way, who cares what the status is of the first one being tahara now or not? Right now, he has a second Neged Tzaras. That second Neged Tzaras certainly makes him tameh. So what's the nafkamina, whether the first one is tahara now or not tahara now? Lamaisa is tameh from the second Neged Tzaras. So Gemara explained that tayi the nafkamina. The nafkamina is lechasan shenira bo nega. If a chasan sees a nega during his shivas yimei mishta, what's the din? The tzan, the mishta tells us shenira bo nega nosin lo shiva yamim. We know that a person does not become Neged Tzaras. He might have a very clear Neged Tzaras, but if the kohen doesn't declare Neged Tzaras, it's not Neged Tzaras. So the lach is, there's a special dispensation we give the chasan that during his shivas yimei mishta, let him enjoy his 7 days of partying. The kohen shouldn't say a thing, so he remains tahor. So now a chasan shenira bo nega nosin lo shiva yamim, we give him a 7 days lo ulasilaso to himself, or even to his begadim al ksuso, all his property. We see it, we ignore it for 7 days. And in a similar fashion, the Mishnah says v'chein beregel nosin lo kol yimei regel. When it comes to regel as well, we don't look at a person's neged tzaras. We don't want him to ruin his Simchas Yom Tov. So these are two cases where we let them off the hook for a week. Now, if we say Yitar Tanan, that becomes Tar when he gets his second Nega, he becomes Tar immediately. So Mikamaisa Tar Le, Lebraisa Nitrin Le, Shivei Mei Mishta. That when you get the second Nega, so the first one's Tahor, and we give him 7 days to become Tahor until we look at the second one. But if we say that the only time the first one becomes tahor is when we see the Neged Tzaras number two and become tahor from number two, then we can be mitar the first one as well. But so long as we're not mitar the second one, the first one still remains tame. So in the end of the day, kilo mitame slabaisa ho mitame v'kai mikamaisa. So we don't care that he's not mitame from the even though the second one isn't mitame just yet, but the first one still does remain mitame. So this is the nafkamina again. Whether or not when he develops the Neged Tzaras, does it mitar the first one? He's fully tar now for Shivat Yimei Mishnah? Or no, it's still tamei until it becomes tar from the second one. And the Gemara says, we don't know the answer, ends off in a teku. So Gemara now raises another question. By Minei Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zera, Tzorim Odin Bebechor, Umeis, Ma'al Liknas Beno Achrav. Let's say the Baal, the Kohen, he's a Meitamum, he cuts off the ear of a Bechor, and he violated the Isser, and we give him a Knas, we give him a penalty. So the penalty is either, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Olam, or it's a penalty that he has to wait for the next Mum to fall. But now the Kohen dies, and he's Morishit to his son. Now this now Bechor has a Tzorim Ozan, so is it going to be, does he take on the Knas as well as his father or not? So this is going according to Shita's Rebbe Lazar, who said it's Asr Olam. Does that Isr Olam apply to the children who are Yorish from the father of this Bechor? So what's the Tzadim? So Gemara explains, Im Tim Salom, if you're going to say, Mocher Avdol Ovdei Kochavim, the person sells his Eved Kanani to a Goy. You're not allowed to do that. You own Eved Kanani. We know that Eved Kanani is partially Jewish. There's a big machlokus in the Rishonim and the Gaonim, what the status is of a Eved Kanani that I own. So everyone agrees he keeps mitzvahs. We know he keeps mitzvahs like that of a woman. La, it says law by Eved Kanani, it says law by an Isha. Whatever women are chayvin, men are, the Eved Kanani is chayvin as well. So that's a whole big discussion where you draw that line exactly. Is that really true of every mitzvah? But that's certainly a din. So now there's a big machlokas whether or not that is he's a partial ger, he's a mixas ger, or no, he's not a ger, he's really a goy. But when he's living in my house, he has to practice b'derech minog, he has to do what I'm doing as well. But either way, he's doing some level of mitzvahs. So there's an iser to sell an Eved Kanani to a goy. Why? Because he's going to stop performing mitzvahs. The Gemara explains, Im Tim Salomar Mocher Avdo Lovik Echavim, if a person sells an Eved Kanani to a goy, Umeis, and the owner, the Adon, dies, Kantu Beno Acharav, we penalize the son as well to ensure he buys back that Eved. Why? The Chol Yom V'Yom Mafkulei Mitzvahs Mimitzvahs. Every single day that he's not in my house, he's in the house of the goy, he's not performing mitzvahs. So since there's a very important reason, we penalize even the child. Or the other time, we have another model in halacha. Im Tim Salomar, Kivin Malachto B'moed Umeis Lo Kantu B'no Acharav. Mishim D'lo Avdi Li Surah. So now it comes a person who delays the work. He wants to make sure a person is not allowed to delay any work in the field or the Karim, Rashi explains here, to do on the Chol HaMoed, because I'm off Chol HaMoed, I've got more time and more available. We don't want a person to be mechaven his melacha to be done on Chol HaMoed. One who does such a thing, we penalize him, he can't get hana from that property. So now that's only true of the father, but the son who takes over the property afterwards does not get penalized. So we see two different models. Sometimes we do penalize the son as well, and sometimes we don't penalize the son. So the Gemara explains, so what's the case here? Hacha, my, what's the din here? Kivin Malach, again, Imtem Salomar, Kivin Malach to be Moed, Umeis, Lo Kantu Beno Acharav. Why? Mishim Delo Avid Le Yisura. The son didn't do anything wrong, so we don't penalize the son. So what do we say here? Hacha, my, in our case, where the father is Tzorim Ozen Bechor, do we penalize the son? Lidide Kantu Rabbanon Valese. Do we only penalize the father and he's no longer around, so it wouldn't carry on to the son? Or perhaps Limamone Kantu Rabbanon Vahaisa, or do perhaps we understand the Knas is Chal on the Chef, the Shomamon, and that Bechor is still around. So is it on the Gavra or is it in the Chefza? That's the Chakira in the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, Amrlei Tanisua tells us, we learn in this is a Mishnah in Mesechah Shviyas, Sada Sheniskavta B'Shviyas, Tizrael Matzai Shviyas. A field that was Niskavta. Niskavta is that you remove all the coats and you remove all the thorns. It's not a very, you're not supposed to do avoda. We know there's an Isser of avodas karka during Shemitah. So one who's Niskavta removes the thorns, that's not considered an avoda, and that will not create an Isser on the property. But if one were to Nitaiva, or Nidaina, Lo Tizrael Matzai Shviyas. That's a more serious type of avoda, and one who does those, I'll explain in a second what those mean, that would create an Isser on the property. So what are these two different actions? Rashi explains three lines up from the bottom here. Netaiva is nizdavla aide agalos umasal shazevel. You fertilize the property with the animals, and nidaira is very similar. Aide deer behemos to a group of animals. Shemamidinu mashkiven also. You place them on top of the property. Chadash chadashim for machodesh or chadashim a month or two. Kedei lezavla. So the fertilizing the property is considered more serious, and that would create an iser to plant it the year after. Tosas argues on this case of netaiva. Tosis says it's referring to, it quotes Yushalmi in the bottom here, Ezu Tiv Kol Ha'am Pamachas Chorshin V'Hu Chorish Te Pamim. Everyone else is allowed to plow once. That was a heter. because just you don't want the field to get ruined, that's preventing hefshed. But to plow a second time, that's considered being mishabech the property. So he understands that taiva is referring to, not fertilizing, is referring to plowing. Happens to be an interesting discussion about grumma. When it comes to grumma by melacha, is that a problem here? So the Har Tzvi learns from this case of Rashi. Rashi is where you're placing the animals to fertilize the property. That's grumma. I didn't plow the field. I didn't water the field. I put animals, and the animals were fertilizing it. So that's a second hand. That's an indirect type of melacha. So yet we see that grumma is still going to be usur for doing melacha during Shemitah. That's what some point out. And they ask the question, however, by Hilchos Shabbos, though, we paskin grumma is an usur in Shabbos. And similarly, the halachas of melacha and shvi is very similar to the melachas of Shabbos. Very, very similar. So if grumma by Shabbos, the Yushalmi says, is not usur, so how come grumma and shvi is in fact usur? So one the answer would be, they're not the same dinim. Who says you have to equate the halachas of Hilchos Shabbos with Hilchos Shemitah? It's possible Hilchos Shabbos, grumma could be pater, and maybe by Hilchos Shvi, grumma could be usur. But they explain here, based on the Rashba says that with Gabi Nezikin. Gabi Nezikin, let's say a person, I place my animal on top of your property, and it eats your property, so the din is Amchayiv. Even if your property is in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Why are you Chayiv? There's a din by Shein V'Regel, Rosh Hashanah Rabim is Pater. If my animal eats your food in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, I'm Pater from Shein. So how come the Rashba says, if I place my animal on your food that's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, I'm Chayiv? He says, in that case, that's not called Shein. That's called a Adam Hamazik. When I directly place my animal in situation, not where the animal walked on his own, I mamish place my animal there. That's called adam amazik. That's like shooting my arrow out, which is considered adam amazik according to one opinion. Here as well, it's considered a direct offense, a direct mazik, and therefore your chayiv is not called grumma. So too, he says, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Shavuos, I place my animals directly on the property to fertilize. That's also called adam hamazik, or at least in this case, adam ha'osim lacha, and therefore it's considered a direct action, not considered a grumma. The Chazon Ish says just a very babatish answer. He says, no, ein hachanami grumma is not usur. When the Gemara says you can't fertilize the property with animals, it means usur midirabanan. But midiraisa, ein hachanami, grumma would in fact be a mutter on a deraisa level, just like by Shabbos. So back to the Gemara now. We have from all of this that a person fertilizes his property or plows his property, he can't lo sizra lemotzei shvi'is. He can't plant, he can't work the field the following year, we penalize him. So the Gemara says now, last four lines, v'amar ravasi b'rabbi chanina, naktinen hativa umeis b'no zara. But let's say the father was made to the property, and then the father died, the son can plant afterwards. The knas does not carry over to the son. Alma lididei kanser banan librelo kanser banan. The penalty is only on the father, and it's not on the son. And therefore, here as well, when it came to the bechor, only the father was penalized, but not the son. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem will pick up tomorrow.